Blog Talk Radio.
That I am, but there's things going on that make me mad to the core. I gotta work like a dog to make ends meet. There's crooked politicians and crime in the streets, and I'm madder than hell, and I ain't gonna take it no more. They tell our kids to just say no, then some panty waste judge lets a drug dealer go, slaps him on his wrist, and he turns him back out on the town. If I had my way with people selling dope, I'd take a big tall tree and a short piece of rope. I'd hang them up high and let them swing till the sun goes down. Well, you know what's wrong with the world today? People done gone, put their Bibles away. They're living by the law of the jungle, not the law of the land. Well, the good book says, so I know it's the truth. Where you go, remember where you've been. That's the way I see it. I'm a simple man. Yeah, I'm the kind of man wouldn't harm a mouse, but if I catch somebody breaking in my house, I got a 12-gauge shotgun waiting on the other side. So don't go pushing me against my will. I don't want to have to fight you, but I darn sure will. So if you don't want trouble, then you better just pass me on by. As far as I'm concerned, there ain't no excuse for the raping and the killing and the child abuse. And I got a way to put a end to all that mess. You just take them rascals out in the swamp, put them on their knees and tie them to a stump. Let the rattlers and the bugs and the alligators do the rest. Well, you know what's wrong with the world today? People done gone, put their Bibles away. They're living by the law of the jungle, not the law of the land. Yeah, the good book says, so I know it's true. An eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. You better watch where you go. Remember where you've been. That's the way I see it. I'm a simple man. Watch where you go. Remember where you've been. That's the way I see it. I'm a simple man.
Making these mission on this Monday night. I tell you what, it's been hot up here in New Mexico and had some flaming up the grants and things that went on over there. Nothing much really did happen, but the state troops, the state police did show up earlier afterwards. And I do have Mr. Sammy Garcia on here with us tonight and everything. He's going to fill us in on what's going on. Brother, right now I'm going to introduce Virgil Russell. How you all doing, brothers?
Hi.
I'm doing good. Beautiful.
Doing good. Doing good, man. Just hanging in there.
I think we all are at this time. Hey, family, welcome to Meganization and everything. We're very proud of you guys up here in Grant and stuff. Why don't you tell everybody who you are and everything, then we'll take off from there.
Hi, everybody out there. I'm Sammy Garcia, small business owner, and a person who likes everything to be done the right way and not using the back of people to make their agenda.
And I know from what I saw earlier, you got served. Did you guys get served with the cease and desist orders earlier today?
I did not get served because I have a different business. I heard it was the business of Papa Pond's gun shop.
Yeah. And, well, I tell you, you know, and But, you know, it was surprising that it calmly, went like it did and everything, except because of all the excitement. What do you think that the governor is going to do, Do you think she'll follow through, or do you think, because from what I'm seeing right now, Mr. Hicks has a good case against her now and everything, and he can win this in court very easily. What do you think?
Well, Mr. Hicks is doing the right thing, and he does have a lot of support, and other support came from a lot of other towns and cities. I think there was a guy all the way from, it's up north, I can't remember the name. I have his, wait, hold on. But some ladies came from Albuquerque. But I believe he's going to win this because you can't step on the constitutional rights of people. It even came out with A.G. Barr, came out, the U.S. attorney, and said, I will go after these governors if they start implementing this because they have no right to stop them of their livelihood, period.
We saw that earlier today and everything. So one of the other things is what people don't realize is that Michelle Grisham is not even bonded in the state of New Mexico.
Yeah, that's what I heard. So has anyone fact-checked that just to make sure?
Yes, it's been fact-checked. In fact, I did an investigation several months back, and we requested forms and everything of the documents, and the response back was they can't send this any because they don't have any.
Yeah, so how would she even be the governor then?
Right, and I do know that I talked to Doug Fernandez the other day. Him and I talk all the time from KOT, and they are investigating as well on Target 7. So it is under investigation and everything. And Russell, I know you had a question. So go ahead, brother.
Well, no, I was just curious. I was out this weekend, and I was completely flabbergasted. I'd like to ask our guest there, the people have been so scared, or whatever term you want to use, fear-mongering stuff by the press and leaders and all that kind of stuff, that the majority of the people I've seen walking around now are acting like sheep. Yes, save us from this horrible virus and stuff. What are your thoughts on that? I mean, do you think this overreaction? Do you think the reaction's been about right? What are your thoughts on that?
Okay, so you're right. The media is blowing it out of proportion because every time they go to get new data, the data shows that it's less and less and less. And then now they're having a conflict with the people because they're not all catching into the fear-mongering. It's a handful of people that are doing it, and, of course, the news is going to press it for those that they want to press it for because it's their agenda. But if you come out to where I live and you walk around, you only see a few people with a mask here and there. And that's what we've said. If you are in fear, wear the mask. If you don't fear it, you don't need to wear the mask. That's your right. That's every bit of your right. If you choose to go somewhere without a mask, that's their right. You, like I said, you cannot be enforcing that takes people's rights away from them at all. You can't tell people to wear something just because you fear you might catch it. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
I know Carmelita is on here. I think she wants to talk to you too. So, when you and I discussed earlier, Sammy, is that there are going to start an ordinance to mask here in the state and everything. And I can't wear a mask. I have heart issues. So I can't, it's like, what do we do with that? People like me.
No, what's happening actually is doctors. Doctors are writing letters.
Can I cut in for just a second?
Sure, go ahead, Virgil.
Okay. I don't know whether y'all heard about this or not, but Sunday we had a very, very dark day here in Louisiana. A domestic violence call got out of hand, and a person by the name of Ronnie Cato shot and killed a 57-year-old man, then ran and barricaded himself in his own home.
Mm-hmm.
The police responded to it. They should have gone with a few more people. Ronnie Cato waited till they got out of their units, and he opened fire on them with an AR-15 rifle.
Oh, I saw that.
One of the officers went down, and Ronnie Cato stood over him and continuously fired until he emptied the magazine into the officer, killing him instantly. The other officer is hanging on by a thread for his life. There was gunfire exchanged between the Baton Rouge Parish Sheriff's Office SWAT team and him. 4 hours later, they finally got him out.
Mm-hmm.
But
wow.
we have another person, and this is sparking already the infringement of Second Amendment rights by Democrats, mayors, police chiefs, and a governor to implement a red flag law in Louisiana, because this person, he was an ex-convict, convicted felon with a firearm, and he was known to make verbal threats against the police. So now this is going to spark another controversy in Louisiana after the COVID-19 BS is all over with.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I'd like to ask for everybody, you know, to keep the families of these officers, you know, in your hearts, and pray for a speedy recovery from the one that's in the hospital. They haven't released the names of the officers yet.
Okay.
But he's at Later Lake Regional Medical Center, and he's under guarded in critical condition. He took multiple hits.
Wow. Okay. But so here's the thing too, is that we're not trying to promote anything against police officers or anything. It's like Mayor Hicks was saying too. You know, if they're going to act like Nazis, they're going to be treated like it, you know, with the Gestapo working for the governor stuff. But we're not trying to promote anything against officers at all. You know, we do respect law enforcement and everything, too. But they need to respect us as well.
Well, you know? Joseph, what we need to remember is this. You know, the most deadliest, the most frivolous defense throughout history started after World War II.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the defense of, I was just following orders.
Right.
You know, I was just following orders. You know, I mean, that's not an excuse. That's not an excuse to terrorize, mm-hmm. promote tyranny, or to murder people. You know,
exactly.
That's not an excuse. That's not an excuse. This is America. This is America. You know, we do not have to show freedom papers to cross into Mississippi, to Alabama, to New Mexico, to Texas,
mm-hmm.
or whatever. It's not supposed to be that way. This is
not
Nazi Germany. This is not Nazi Germany.
You know,
we are a free republic. We are a republic established and ordained by the Constitution of the United States of America, which guarantees each and every citizen fundamental rights of due process and fundamental rights to not be persecuted for just what they believe.
Exactly. You know? And see, and that's the point that Mr. Hickman is trying to make for his citizens there in Grants, you know, for all of them. Executive orders does not override the Constitution. Executive orders are only temporary. They're not law.
Well, the truth is, Joseph, an executive order affects only government agencies and government employees. It has no authority whatsoever over U.S. citizens unless it goes to Congress and is passed as a law.
Exactly. Which, in this case, it hasn't.
No. I mean, all of this is unconstitutional. The government doesn't have the authority to tell you you can't go to work, let your business fall apart, your family go hungry, and people sold their souls for $1,200 check. I'm just like, gee. I mean, I'm ready to give up on the American people as a whole.
Right.
You ain't the only one. You ain't the only
one. Sammy's a small business owner, you know, and I saw the video of him earlier when he was being interviewed and everything too. And, you know, Sam, I know you're struggling as well. I mean, you know, Grants is a very small town and everything. And what are your plans for your business?
Me?
You.
Okay. Well, I'm fortunate because I have a service business, and it has affected it somewhat. But we're hanging on. We don't have nearly the same amount of work we had at this time last year. And also, I could see how people are in fear because of what they hear, you know, by the media and stuff. Like, I went out to do a few estimates, and the people wouldn't even come outside. They would talk through the screen in the windows and stuff. You know, and I totally understand. If that's how they feel, that's good. But it does affect the small businesses. And all small business is essential. Because first of all, the small business is the livelihood of the person who owns it. To pay and make their ends meet, and maybe to prosper.
Let me kind of correct you on that. Small businesses are the livelihood of not only you, but your entire community. Your entire community, because every small business, I mean, it's kind of like the proverb: if a butterfly flaps his wings in China, in California there's an earthquake. You know, everything's intertwined together, especially in an economy. You sell goods that are manufactured outside of your state. Okay, by that you support another family that works in that factory or that plant out of state. By the sale of your goods. You support people like me who have to transport those goods from point A to point B, which is namely from the factory to you. So you see, your small business is really big business. It's really big business because it supports a lot of people. It supports a lot of people. It puts a lot of food on a lot of families' tables. So don't ever think of yourself as I'm small, and you know it only you know and affects you. When a small business goes under, bankrupt, or goes out of business, it affects everybody in the country. One small business, you would not believe the number of you figure up the number of people it takes to supply that small business. Okay, and you figure up that small business goes out of business, will they lose business? You know, so you might not be the high gear in the machinery called the American economy, but you are a very important part of that machine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that was another part that I was getting to, because it's essential to the employees that we have. And then, like you were saying, I was going to bring up the point, it's essential to our community, because in the community I live, there is only not even a handful, but a couple of us that do the same type of business. So, but the businesses that I have been fighting for and supporting are, you know, like you said, it does affect a great deal of people, their employees and stuff. And, like I spoke today to Channel 13 News, and I have let them know that the people are not naive. They know how to take care of themselves, and they're not going to intentionally get themselves sick, but they will do the utmost cautions, I told them. And but you know, the part I don't like is where the governor, and we've already heard, like we said, From the United States AG bar, that it was against the law to do that. But then she is using her state police, or the state police that actually belongs to the public and serves the public, to enforce this whatever she wants to call it. Because even during a health emergency, you cannot punish, you cannot threaten or fine a small business for opening up. It is against the law.
Well, I'm going to tell you this right now, my man. Do not put too much faith in AG Barr. Do not put too much faith in him. You know, he talks a good game. He talks a good game, but I haven't seen him throw a touchdown pass yet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, he's going to get a lot of opportunity now. I mean, he you know, if they're out putting citations, they already said what he said not to do. And I hope all the people out there are listening. The government belongs, the people that work in the government work for you. And you got to let them know it. And you got to stand up what's right for your rights and for others. And you got to unite. So, all you small business owners, we're out here.
The way you fight that fire, my man, is this. They're writing these citations. Okay, these people got to go to court to fight these citations. You let these goddamn judges know. Okay, we put you on this bench with our vote. We can take you off of this bench with our vote. So you better get with the program.
Yeah.
And the citations are not.
What happened to the young lady that was on with us? We haven't heard from her.
Camelita, you still on ya? Camelita.
No, we lost. She hung up. We lost. She'll call back in. But, you know, that's why, you know, everybody's been telling me, you're wrong. You don't know what I'm talking about. It's like, yes, I do. It's called the Constitution. I study it. I know what's in it. And it does not owe, you know, executive orders. But, you know, it does not override the Constitution.
Well, Joseph, you know, you keep talking about the Constitution. Okay, the power of the Constitution comes from the people.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? It comes from the people standing up. Now, if they're not going to stand up and support and defend the Constitution of the United States, then basically we have no Constitution to the United States.
And I agree with you 100%. I agree. You know, it's like our good friend LaVoy Thincombe said before he died, before he was murdered. You know, we did the last show with him. He said, You got to stand for the Constitution. If not, you've lost everything. And, you know. And he died for that.
And our governor extended this BS till May the 15th. I mean, he's created an uproar down here you wouldn't believe.
Yeah. Well, ours did too, but she's going back saying, oh, wait, I didn't say that. Well, we got her on video saying that she did. Right, Sam?
Yeah. So on that part with the governors and they're overacting, have you been watching your mayors also of your towns? Like our mayor, the mayor of Grants, our mayor where I live, the neighboring town, the little town of Milan, he stands behind the governor pretty much 100% plus. And now today, I was out checking on some land that we have out in the mountains, and I started, once I got where you could get activity on the phone or reception, I started getting a lot of messages and found out that, I don't know, I haven't got to talk to him because he locked his gate to his house. I was going to stop by and ask him, is this an ordinance? I don't remember us having a special meeting about us wearing masks in every store we walk into now. Any restaurant that you have to proceed with a mask. I didn't get the chance to ask him, like I said, if it's an ordinance, an executive order, or what he's up to, but I'd like to find out.
Mm-hmm. I know our mayor here in Berlin is already opening up as well and everything. I talked to him. And he made an announcement that he's going to be opening up. So, you know, all the mayors are starting to follow in. I did hear where the mayor of Albuquerque is also, Tim Taylor, going to open up some businesses too. And I'll be kind of shocked if he actually does that. You know.
Yeah.
And everything.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. But I don't think our mayor's there yet for some reason. So,
mm-hmm.
If I'll have a chance tomorrow sometime, hopefully to get by his house and ask him, you know, are you guys mm-hmm. making this an ordinance or is it a law or did you do an executive mm-hmm. order? Because we know that the only way it can stand is if they made it an ordinance. And I don't remember going to any meeting or Skyping any meeting or seeing it online about them making this new mask rule.
Yeah, neither have I. I know KOC was talking about it earlier and said it's not in effect yet with these mask ordinance, but it can be after the 15th and everything. So we'll just have to keep an eye on that and see. But like I said earlier, people like me that have health issues, you know, with heart problems and stuff, we can't wear masks all the time. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. And that's where your choice comes in. Even just personally, you know, if you want to wear a mask, wear one. If you don't. I mean, if people don't want to walk by you or you walk by them, they can go around you. That's the choice they have.
Right.
You know.
Right.
You know.
Right.
In everything that we do.
Everything that.
I mean. Yep. And here's a good example of them overblowing this. Does HIV have a vaccine, or does SARS have a vaccine? No, they don't. Neither one of them. And they never
mm-hmm.
shut down America upon it, you know. So this is all a political game. And they're going to push it as long as they can.
You know, it's like with this vaccine the governor's trying to force on us. They don't even have one yet. It's just trying to force us into a vaccine.
Yeah, and they might never have a vaccine. That's the thing.
Mm-hmm.
They may never make a vaccine for it. Just like mm-hmm. HIV and just like SARS. Both of them have no vaccine. And they've killed a lot more people.
Oh, yeah. So, Martin, Russell, do you have something you wanted to say there?
Sure, man. I think we should all follow Dr. Hoochie Coochie's fucking advice, and I think we should all go hide in their houses, pull a pillowcase over our heads, and fucking starve to death because the government says it.
Right.
Well, that's like Mr. Hicks was saying earlier, you know, it's like, you know, the governor's trying to scare everybody to death. Oh, you can go to Walmart. You can go work at Walmart, but you can't go work anywhere else.
I really don't think, you know, it's hard for me, you, Virgil, you, Mr. Hicks sitting there right now to imagine, but I really don't think these fuckstick like the mayor and mayor of New York, de Blasio, Cuomo, the governor, y'all governor there in New Mexico, Michigan, and other places. I really think these people are so fucking stupid and ate up with their own ego that they don't even realize how far they push the American people. I don't think they have a clue how close it is to this thing coming completely unwound.
Yeah. I agree. I was talking about that earlier. I mean, I believe it's gonna be a war that can't handle. You know, like our governor,
yeah.
He started a war she can't finish.
Yeah. What?
You know,
whatever their strategy is of these governors and mayors, they are starting to create civil unrest with the people.
Mm-hmm.
And like he was talking about the red flag a little bit, because you know our state too, she pushed it, and every one of our politicians in our area supported her on it, and now they're finding out they're being replaced, and they're crying about it. So she'll be next, and everybody got to understand when it comes to the red flag law. It doesn't supersede the Second Amendment in any way. If there are ordinances through states and cities, because he said that the felon had a weapon, well, we already know that felons shouldn't have weapons because they have made state and city ordinances on them or laws. Mm-hmm. But you cannot supersede for the law-abiding citizens. There is no law above it, no law that could replace it. Is the Second Amendment, because it's the law you use to remove dictating politicians.
Okay,
that
well,
was the whole
me,
purpose
let
that
me,
law
let,
was made.
Well, let me throw this. Let me throw you guys a curveball then, all right? Let me throw you guys a curveball. And it is only in the last, I don't know, 40 years or so or whatever, that the government decided they had the power to intrude upon the Second Amendment. All through our history, let's talk about the late 1800s, early 1900s. Okay, say you were a bank robber or a train robber or whatever, all right? You got arrested. You got tried, you got convicted, you went to jail. You came out of jail, and when you walked out the gate, they handed you your guns back.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Correct.
That was when we were living at... Now, if a man has paid his debt to society, and I had a police chief for a very large metropolitan area, I'll tell you, the one here... And he came out and said that that he thought that that was an overreach in itself, that there should be some kind of time limit on it or something. Because you think about that, they're not only taking your Second Amendment rights, they're taking your right to vote, everything else. And, you know, we have laws. We have to be a country of laws. I understand that. But nowhere, anywhere in the Bible, Constitution, or anywhere does it say that you have the right to permanently remove anyone's rights.
Exactly.
That's
what
the
you,
truth.
I mean, so what are y'all thoughts on that?
That's very
well,
true
there,
what you just
there,
said.
There are certain things, okay. Okay, if a person, say, goes to jail for being a yard thief, being a yard burglar, okay, didn't really hurt anybody, just stole some weed eaters, lawnmowers, things off of that, okay, and he does 2 years in prison. I don't consider him a menace or a threat to society in at least a little bit, okay? Mm-hmm. A person that gets busted with a lid of marijuana, okay? I don't consider that a threat to society. Now, mm-hmm. when you have these organized crime individuals, such as MS-13, such as the Bloods, the Crips, the Rolling 60s, in Louisiana, it's the Gremlins, 225 and 504. These are hardcore criminals. These are hardcore criminals, and they're sociopathical killers. They'll kill you in a heartbeat. You know, I mean, you know, if the crime is violent, okay. If the crime is violent,
we're not being purists there. You can't say I support the Second Amendment, but once you say a button there, you done trashed the whole.
Well, I mean, Russell,
there are no buts. Where in the Second Amendment does it say but?
Well, I know it doesn't say but, Russell.
Right.
Well, I'm just saying, you know, in the interest of my safety, your safety, and the safety of our families, I do not think that hardcore drug dealers that are sent to prison for 10 years should get out and be given a gun back. You know.
Well, okay, but
I mean,
I'm playing the devil's advocate here because people talk about the Second Amendment all the time, but they throw butts in there. And there are no buts in it. Okay, so let's decide that somebody gets lit up by a combat veteran, okay? All right? So now... Now they're going to come in and say, well, you know, all these guys have violent past. You know, they've been involved in violence, stuff like that. Isn't that a danger to the everyday citizenship? Or, you know, look at those guys over there. They eat frozen bananas. They shouldn't be allowed to have guns. I mean, you can't put a butt in the second.
Well, I understand where you're coming. I understand where you're coming from, but I do not. I'm not comfortable. Just me. This is just me. I'm not comfortable with some guy going to prison for domestic violence for almost beating his wife or girlfriend to death, and then getting out 5 years later, and you're going to give this son of a bitch a gun. You know that. You know you. I mean, it's not like the old days.
Okay,
it's not like the old days. Morality, Russell. Morality has gone to shit in America. Morality has gone to shit in America. And there are just some people out there that do not need a gun. Now you got to agree with me on that.
Who's gonna sit in judgment of that?
Well, the only way we can sit in judgment of that is wait for them to do something wrong. You know, I mean,
that's the only option we have. That's no different than the majority of American society. You know what? Guns are just too dangerous for everybody in general. Let's just do away with them. There's not a bit of difference in that than what we just talked about. You either believe in the Second Amendment, and you know what? You know what happened to bad guys back in those days? They ran across a good guy and got their shit lit up. Okay?
Right.
You see, what brings it up, Russell? Okay, Charles Whitman was basically a good guy. but he had a physical, he had a physical affliction which caused him to go insane. Now, had the times been different, had it been caught early, you know, it could have saved 15 people's lives. But it didn't. It didn't turn out that way. Charles Whitman went insane. He had three malignant brain tumors. Mm-hmm. And he was not himself. He was not himself. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, you know, I don't mean to say, you know, that this one or that one or something. But in today's immoral society, we have to have some kind of discretion and some kind of you know, checks and balances with it. You know,
that is the answer that you'll get from probably 90% of conservative Christians. That answer right there. All right. The law should be made, who can and have what should be directly aligned with what makes them feel safe about the world. And that's
if parents would raise the kids instead of pushing them off on sports figures and rap singers and psychiatrists that feed them this poison called antidepressants. I mean, that's nothing but poison. It's a hallucinogenic drugs is what it is. And it causes these kids to go crazy. It causes people to go crazy. You know? I don't think that, you know, I mean, we took the Bible out of the schools, we took trade out of the schools, we took everything out of the schools, and we have no more schools. These places have become institutions of indoctrination, and I think if we change that, we will have a safer society, and we will not need checks and balances when it comes to the Second Amendment. But until we change the cause of the problem, we're going to have a problem.
And fiction, and the thing to do in the intermediate is to walk all over the Second Amendment, just trample the shit out of that son of a bitch, because it makes everybody feel safe.
No. What we need to do is change the problem that's creating the problem.
Yep.
Change the problem that's creating the problem. And get rid of the indoctrination and start educating people. Throwing that logic on it,
that's saying, okay, what all these judges and county judges and stuff are doing is absolutely fine because they're doing what's necessary to keep people safe in the meantime. I don't know, Mexico, we're going to rob the store, get out, and do it again. I'm just saying, look at it from a purist point of view. I'm not saying I'm right. Mm-hmm. I'm not. I'm just saying, if you look at it in its purest form, none of what has gone on is constitutional. Not since they decided you couldn't own automatic weapons.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
I agree with you on that. You know, this whole thing started with the gangsters and the bootleggers and all up in Chicago with Al Capone and all of this shit here. Hell, back then, you know, it was a lot of money, you know, but we look at it now as it's not a lot of money. But you could buy a Thompson submachine gun through the mail for $200 back then.
Yeah.
Hey, guys, I got to say goodnight. You guys have a good night.
Okay, guys.
All right.
Okay, see you later. Thank you for having me on your show.
All right, man. Have a good night. Do it right.
You too.
All right.
I mean, in 1956, I believe it was 55 or 56. I believe it was. The government didn't advertise it, but they found that they were coming across all of these weapons that were brought back from World War II, the German submachine guns and the Russian and this and that and the other. So they held a little thing to where it wasn't well advertised, to where people that had these things could come in and register them, and it was like for about 3 days. And after that, boy, it was, you know, Katie bar the door, you know, you get caught with it, that was it. But, you know, it's just morality has just, we've just let morality go in the United States. There is very little respect for human life. There's very little self-respect. Very little self-respect. You know, I mean, just all of the things these kids are being taught, and when I say kids, I'm talking about from adolescence all the way up to 25 years old. You know, they're living off their mom and daddy in the basement and going to these colleges, supposed to be getting an education, but all they're doing is being taught how to hate America. And it's something somewhere down the line broke down, and it didn't get fixed properly. And that's why we're having the problems we're having today. And what we need to get back to is the mothers and fathers need to start raising their children and not pushing them off on these rap singers, these athletes, these Hollywood actors, and all of this. And stop shoving pills down your child's throat because of this bipolar. Boy, I've never heard the first time I heard that, I laughed my ass off. Bipolar. What is that? A gay polar bear or something? When I first heard it.
Hypertension.
Bipolar can be cured very simply by a couple of strokes of a belt across that ass. Instead of shoving a bunch of poison down, still shoving a bunch of pills down the throat. Stop giving your children everything. Let them throw the tantrum. Drag them out of Walmart and let them throw the tantrum because you didn't buy them the toy that they wanted. Stop giving them these fucking cell phones, these tablets, these iPads. You know, start doing family things like they're doing now. You know? I mean,
that's why the government's afraid now, because the kids are home and the parents can't actually teach them. That's why the government is throwing a fit now.
Let's fix the problem. Let's fix the problem that's causing the bigger problem. Maybe you won't have to carry your fucking 45 or your Glock or your 38 or 357 Magnum every fucking where you go, because some psycho is gonna jump out of the fucking bushes like a wild Indian and try to kill you.
Right.
I just find it amusing that everyone's willing to compromise on whatever you want to talk about, the Fourth Amendment, the Second, whatever amendment you want to pull up. I just find it amusing that people say, well, it's okay to infringe on it as long as, you know, it meets my needs or whatever like that, you know, and I just get a kick out of that. Well, yeah, you know, Second Amendment, but no, there's not a but in the Second Amendment anywhere.
Right.
Well, I understand that, Russell. I understand that.
Russell.
Let me ask you this. Charles Manson went to prison several times in his life. Charles Manson. Do you think every time he got out of prison, he should have been given a gun?
Yep, I do. And if he would have, That chick would probably still be alive because that stupid little bitch would have gone waving it at somebody. Somebody would have fucking clapped it.
Now, you have a point there. You got a point there. You got a point.
Right.
That could have turned out a whole different scenario on that point. I can't argue with you on that. Okay.
Well, see, and that's what I'm saying. You know, the answer is, I mean, I don't think, you know, I don't think everybody would be comfortable with it or anything like that, but everybody should be able to carry if they choose a Second Amendment right. You know, and I guarantee you, if all the bad guys out there went, whew, you know, most of these motherfuckers attacking heat, there's going to be a whole lot less crime.
Yeah. Well, look, back in our days, guys, we used to carry guns in our pickups when we were in high school.
Oh, yeah.
We never had any school
before this intervention in state rights and all of this stuff here, you know, I mean, if, in my opinion, if DNA, you know, with the technology we have today, if DNA connects you to an aggravated rape, you know, don't hide behind brick walls when you put this son of a bitch under the needle, in the electric chair, in the gas chamber, or lynch it. You know, make it public. Put it on public television. Sit down. You know, this is what happens. This is what happens to you, Junior, if you go out and terrorize and victimize other people. You know, that was the biggest deterrent. That's why the death penalty worked so well throughout the country, because they would build the gallows. They would hold party. They would sell beer, pizza, and pizza slices, and blooming onions
popcorn
and everything, and watch the mass lynching. Watch them, you know, a long drop and a short stop, you know. Wow, oh, man, I ain't going to do that. No, I'm going to leave that shit alone.
Oh, yeah, man.
When they
hit into the rope and that neck snaps and they piss and shit themselves and they're sitting there dangling, that shit's running down their leg. That is quite a deterrent for bad behavior.
Mm-hmm. You see, back in the day, the urban legend was that the person being executed had to pay the hangman, if he had money, had to pay the hangman to put the knot to the side of his neck, because when he dropped, it would kill him instantly. It would snap his neck. If he wouldn't pay him, he would put it to the back of the neck, causing the person to kick and choke to death. It was a very brutal death, a very ugly death. The ones you would see, you know, were kicking their legs and shit, they're gasping for air.
Mm-hmm.
So,
same
you know,
with,
that
thing with the, same thing with the
I mean, it, it, you know, a lot of people, you know, they say, oh, well, the death penalty, it's cruel. How do you prove killing is wrong by killing somebody? Okay.
Yeah.
There were several dozen laws. If you broke, you could get hung. Horse thief. Cattle rustling, rape, you know, shooting someone in the back, you know, there was stealing, you know, trying to steal someone's land, you know, bank robbery, train robbery, I mean, there were just all kind of laws. I mean, even Texas right now. Texas, it's still on the book in Texas. If you're caught on somebody's property after dark, it doesn't matter whether it's in your house, on your back 40, or whatever. Under the Rustler Act, they can shoot you and fucking kill you.
Yep.
And nothing can be done about it.
Yep. Well, that's Oklahoma laws. If I was to catch my girlfriend with another man in bed, I could turn around and kill them both and get away with it. That's still the book.
But because then all of a sudden they had to take executions for capital crime, and they had to put it behind closed doors. You know, only about 5 or 6 witnesses are allowed to see it, and they put it behind closed doors. And it lost its effect. Well, the reason the electric chair in Louisiana was taken away is because you ever saw that movie The Green Mile?
Yeah.
Okay. Remember when that sorry son of a bitch didn't wet the sponge?
Mm-hmm.
Well, the guy that used to carry out the executions with the electric chair at Angola showed up drunk one night for an execution, and he set the guy on fire in the chair.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why they stopped the executions by electrocution in Louisiana, and they went to lethal
mm-hmm.
injection.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now they're saying lethal injection is painful. No. Now they're doing away with that, you know. But here's the thing.
Well, they can't, because you see, any time the state purchases anything, it has to be on public record.
Yep.
And these pharmaceutical companies, they won't sell to states. They won't sell certain narcotics to state agencies because they know what they're going to be used for, and they're going to catch hell from the anti-death protest crowd from the American Civil Liberties Union. That's why it's getting harder and harder. That's why the states are trying to do away with the death penalty. They can't get the drugs to carry it out.
Right.
And you know, here's the thing is that, you know, go back to public hanging and public execution.
Well, my response to that is, hell, they bust all this fentanyl and heroin on the streets. Just use that.
Right. Same effect. You know, shoot them some methadone. That's getting quicker than
the way it works. The way it works, they give you a combination of sodium pentothal and Valium, which knocks you out, which renders you unconscious. Then they inject you with the epinephrine, which causes your heart to beat so fast that it eventually ruptures. Your organs inside go through Armageddon, but you don't feel it. So. But it's a certain type of drug they have to use, and they have the machine set up, and these pharmaceutical companies say no, we don't want no part of this. We got enough problems already, and that's why the states can't get the proper drugs to do the lethal injection.
Right.
Well, guys, as close to that time, do you guys want to continue or?
No, I've got to go to the land of Oz tomorrow at 8:30, better known as the Department of Motor Vehicles, and so I'm gonna ask my wife, you know, to give me a couple of nerve pills right before, you know, so I can get a good night's sleep, and right before I get there, so I don't go off my shit.
Getting this truck
legal to get on the road, Russell, has been just one complete nightmare after another. I mean, it has been a nightmare.
I can imagine. Well, we thank Sammy for coming on the show, and hopefully I'll get Mr. Hicks on. He was actually at a council meeting, which is why he couldn't come on the show. And I had Mr. Garcia fill in for him. And everything, but I'll have them on the show and everything. But I tell you know, I think America is getting pushed to the limits right now, guys. And, you know, something's going good.
It's coming to a head. I tell you what, it's really going to come to a head when all these mortgage companies and these automobile finance companies start sending out letters and everything. Well, guess what, Mr. Jones? Your time is up. We want our money.
Yep.
And, boy,
and
Watch the shit hit the fan now.
Is Tyson Foods is running out of meat. So what's going to happen with that?
Well, there's something fishy. There's something fishy as fuck going on with the food chain. But there is. We'll get into that tomorrow night. I'll take off on that. But there's some very, very weird shit going on out there. And I'm going to throw it at y'all tomorrow night. All right.
Yep.
I'm going to bug out of here. I got to take the mud for a walk, get some sleep. And
let's just look at this, too. A poultry farm in California, they found out all the chickens were Branch Davidians, and they burned down the barn around them.
Yep. So anyway, we'll go on that for tomorrow's show. And thank you, Sammy, for being a guest on the show and everything. So let's go ahead and call it a night. And thank everybody for tuning in. We had a lot of new listeners tonight, so thank you all for listening in. Tune in tomorrow night. Be safe, Virgil. Don't kill anybody if you don't have to, brother.
All right. We'll see y'all tomorrow.
Yeah. Good night, America.
Good night, man.
Good night, John boy.